Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from them getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart, an employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door. Like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, TGIM, everyone. Another broadcasting week is starting for us. Of course, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours and 48 minutes or so as we fight the New World Order together. And we'll have Christina joining us here in just a minute. And if you out there in Radio Land want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208 and press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and get Christina in here.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Prue. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm adequate. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. So I like the new little clip on Rumble. I like them. Well, I guess, was it just Rumble, or where are you placing the new little fashion advice?
Oh, the you talking about the dress code logic video?
Yes. Yeah, that was good.
I posted that on everywhere, basically. So whatever social media we have, I posted it.
I gotcha. Okay.
I'm glad you appreciate and you understand.
Yes, of course.
There's more of those. When I went to St. George, we videoed a bunch of different ones, and I can interchange a bunch of them. But you get the concept.
Oh, yeah. I mean, typical of how everything operates these days. I mean, nothing makes sense. So.
No, and they'll try to tell you that it's the insurance company is going to regulate that a shoe must have two straps or something on it.
Yeah, they do, because I remember years ago when I was working at a little health food store here, you know, we could not wear sandals. They say it was for protection. You know, they didn't want us dropping anything on our feet. But you also, I remember right, you couldn't even have skin exposed, like your legs. You had to, I don't know, it was weird. It was just like,
well,
okay.
Just so you know, there was never any health department regulations. There's no insurance regulations. There's no city, state, or county policies. When a job tells you that, they just tell you that because they don't want you to fight it.
I gotcha.
And it's easier for them to say, well, it's illegal, than you saying, or than them saying, well, I just don't allow it. Well, why won't you allow it? So it shuts that whole argument down. So that's why this exists.
Oh, there's just too many people that like having authority over others. It's just so strange.
That's
so
what
glad.
It is.
Yeah. I'm so glad I don't have that syndrome. But so many do. Especially Biden. My gosh. I mean, it's just crazy. I was just listening to they talked about, what day was it recently that, well, you know, that the emergency thing is all over. And I know he had mentioned too, I guess it was the Supreme Court, he was like, well, as president, I have the authority to, you know, force these government officials or whatever to take these vaccinations in the court. And they were like, no, you don't. So, I mean, it's just, I'm not surprised that he thought that. You know, he's not all there anyway. But it's, It was fun to hear them tell him, no, you don't.
But what gets me, though, is my always question when I go to things is who benefits from this? And does Brandon really benefit from telling millions of people that they have to get an experimental gene therapy that has killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people? That does not help Brandon in any way, shape, or form whatsoever.
No. I just think he's a puppet.
Oh, of course he is.
You know, and although I'm sure he could be getting a kickback, I'm sure. But, yeah, it's nuts.
But just doing things because you can. And I realize that there's going to be a base of 25 to 30 million Democrat voters who don't care if they have to line up their kittens and puppies for Brandon to shoot them down personally with an AK-47. They will still vote for Brandon. That's the diehards.
Yeah.
But who benefits from him saying, well, I'm going to authorize this or mandate this to be placed inside every federal employee's arm? Unless you want people to despise you, then that's a good way to go about making people hate you.
Yeah. I mean, he can't possibly be in his right mind to behave in the way that he's been behaving. Because, I mean, he's not promoting, you know, anything good, really.
Well, to be honest, I can't name one thing that he's actually done in favor of Americans.
No. Me neither.
At least Barry Sotaro and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, at least they gave the impression and brought people in the hood to say, you know what, I can be a better person. At least even if Barry did nothing, he instilled confidence in the black vote.
Yeah. Very true.
But what does Brandon do?
Oh. I mean, I just, it's like he just truly gets, like he's motivated by just literally, he loves to tell people what, you know, what they have to do. I mean, he really does like that, to think that he has authority and power over people, I think.
Well, the good news is that he's pushing 80 years old. And,
yeah.
And that the reason I say that is if he was our age, I'd be worried about him being the next Pol Pot. But he's not with it enough to do something like that.
No, there's no way. There can't be a possible way that they will put him up for election again. I mean, if they do, it's a complete fraud.
Well,
no. He is not well
if
enough.
They do, it's because they can work around him.
Oh.
Look how much that the globalists have done, and there's still a year and 8 months of presidency left.
Oh, I know.
Look at
how much
communism they've been able to bring to the United States, and we're on the precipice of war, and not just a world war, but also a civil war.
I mean,
There's only one country in the past 100 years that I'm aware of that tried to fight an internal civil war along with a world war at the same time, and that was 1940 Germany. But we're heading there.
Yeah, but they're not going to get our firearms. That will be the drawback. That will be, you know, what still protects us. So, I mean, they're going to try. They're going to keep trying and keep saying that guns are the problem, you know, but they're not. I mean, you can't. Let's see, what judge is it? Judge Napolitano?
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. But, you know, he gave a very short and clear explanation of the Second Amendment. And he said it doesn't give us rights, it protects our rights. You know, he just explains it in like a minute and 30, and it was like, you know, kind of clarify things. So they're basically they're to protect us. And I mean, I just, there's just things happening. I mean, and look at Chicago right now. Oh, wow. Did you see what happened?
Well, they just elected a communist for a mayor.
Oh my gosh. They said that there were teenagers that just took over the street. Like,
yes.
Just, you saw all that?
I didn't watch the video, but I heard the new communist mayor. He also said that white cops have no jurisdiction when he becomes mayor officially, that white cops cannot police black people. That's going to be a crime unto itself.
Oh, really?
So I guess from now on, especially in Chicago, while somebody is chasing you or in your house or shooting at you, you have to tell them what race you are so they know what cop to show up.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. I did not hear that. Oh, wow.
So let's play your Andrew Napolitano clip real quick. I put it on the switchboard for you.
The Second Amendment protects, doesn't grant, protects your right to keep and bear arms. Where does it come from? According to Justice Scalia and Heller, the right to keep and bear arms is a modern extension of the ancient right to self-defense. You can use the same means to defend yourself that the bad guys use and that the government uses. That's Heller. Bruin is you can carry the same weapon that the bad guys do and that the government does. Okay, if you're convicted of a crime of violence, there's going to be some restriction on your ability to carry. But if you don't have a criminal record, every state in the union now is a shall carry state, meaning the presumption is that you have the right to carry. In states like New Jersey and New York and California and Illinois, the presumption was that you couldn't carry. You had to prove why you needed to carry the weapon. Thanks to Bruin, the Justice Thomas opinion, that presumption is now switched. The presumption is now that you can carry and that the government shall issue you the permit. And if they don't want you to carry, they have to prove to a judge and jury why you shouldn't. I don't think you should need a permit anyway. You don't need a permit to print your political views. Why should you need a permit to keep and bear arms? Why? Because if the bad guys take over the government, and in some places they have, the first thing they're going to want to do, and in some places they try and do this, is to take your guns away.
Well, that's pretty clear. I thought that was a good explanation. I hadn't heard it explained that way before. So.
Well, all the cities with the highest crime rate are also the ones that have the most bans for guns. Figure that one out.
Well, and you know, I listened to, there was a, I guess it was some sort of hearing going on, and,
Got it all ready to load up.
Do what?
I have it all ready to load it up.
Oh.
You want it now?
Sure.
Okay. All right, we'll listen to this mother in New York City talking about, she's talking to Congress. But before I play the video, it just gets me how all these Democrats are talking crap at her.
Yeah.
And they're calling her a Republican and all that because she wants justice for her son. So all of a sudden...
Yeah.
All of a sudden now she's a bad Republican because she just doesn't want more people to end up like her son and dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they didn't have, it's like they had no reception, no empathy for her at all. And all they were doing, it was like they were using it as an opportunity to bring up freaking guns again. You know? That's all it was. I mean, it was sickening.
All right, let's play her first.
Okay.
Ms. Brame, you are recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Madeline Brame. I am the chairwoman of Victims' Rights Reform Council. I'm also the mother of a homicide victim. My son, Sergeant Hassan Korea, Afghanistan War retired veteran, was killed in Harlem in 2018. Hassan was kicked, punched, stomped, and stabbed 9 times by 4 individuals he did not know, nor had he done them any harm. All 4 of these individuals were apprehended, and all 4 charged with first-degree gang assault and second-degree murder. This case just resolved this year. So this case drug on through the Manhattan criminal court system for 4.5 years. When Alvin Bragg came into office, he was handed a strong trial-ready murder case and gang assault case against all 4 of these individuals where this brutal, savage homicide was captured on video. He was handed a strong trial-ready case, ready to go to trial. As soon as he took office, the case immediately began to unravel. He dismissed, completely dismissed, gang assault and murder indictments against 2 of the defendants clearly on video participating in the brutal, savage slaughter of my son. Mary Saunders, the sister involved in the homicide. He dismissed her indictment and recharged her with assault with a shoe and sentenced her to 1 year time served. Travis Stewart dismissed his gang assault and murder indictment and sentenced him to attempted gang assault. And he pled guilty and sentenced him to 7 years. Travis will be out in the next 18 months. Mary Saunders, this savage, is currently walking the streets of Harlem like she didn't just participate in the brutal slaughter of another human being. Home with her family, home with her children. If that's not a threat to public safety, I don't know what is. She's capable at any moment of snapping and attacking someone and holding them while someone else plunges a butcher knife into their body 9 times. And another person 12 times, and then run away and leave their body in the street to bleed to death. This is the type of criminal element that we have walking the streets of New York City on a daily basis. All types of criminal elements, free to do what they want, when they want, however they want, to whomever they want, with no consequences, no deterrence. We have these anti-gang violence, the Federal Messenger. Millions and billions of our hard-earned tax dollars are going to fund these organizations that are doing absolutely nothing to deter this crime. They're doing absolutely nothing. And I propose that not another dime of our federal tax dollars be pumped into these organizations until they can produce some measurable outcomes of effectiveness of what they're doing with our tax dollars to protect the public.
Audience, there is no audience participation. Ms. Frames, you keep going.
And as far as the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, if he's receiving one penny of federal dollars, you need to pull that funding until he starts doing his damn job and prosecuting crime. I was totally disrespected. Me, my family, my grandchildren, we were treated like garbage. Like garbage. I sat for 4.5 years and saw mothers walk in and out. We have a mother sitting here right now whose son, two sons, one died and the other one is on a colonoscopy bag. This is out of Darcell Clark's jurisdiction. So I'm not the only one. There are hundreds and thousands of us. We don't give a damn about your policy. We don't care. It could be the man from the moon who's running for president. Okay? As long as whoever's in there, it stands for law and order. And it's going to return some civility and sanity to our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Said it a couple times. The audience should refrain from applause. Ms. Graham, though, thank you for that powerful testimony. Mr. Holden, you are now recognized for your 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Jordan, and thank you.
All right, so that was one portion. Then I'm going to play two others. I'm going to play Jerry Nadler, and then we're going to play Hank Johnson.
Okay.
Recognizes the ranking member from New York, Mr. Nadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Graham, you failed to note that as a result of D.A. Bragg's prosecution, two men are currently serving life sentences for the murder of your son.
Mr.
Jordan, I'm sorry. If Mr. Nadler is going to make derogatory comments towards the mother of a homicide victim, he could at least allow her some time to respond.
The lady is not recognizing. Committee will be in order. Committee will be in order. The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from California is recognized for 5 minutes.
Pursuant to what you just said, I think it is important that you have an opportunity to respond to the statement by the ranking member that you justice was served in the case of your loss.
Sergeant Hassan Kareem is dead forever. Dead forever. There are four people directly responsible for his murder. Two people is not justice. And until there is justice for the murder of my son, there will be no peace. None. All four, I'm asking for a special prosecutor to reopen those murder and gang assault charges against Mary Stewart, Mary Saunders, and Travis Stewart. Present that evidence, present that video to a jury, and allow them to decide those homicidal maniacs' innocence or guilt. My son is dead forever. They deserve to be in prison forever. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a sham hearing. It's not about crime in New York. It's an effort to impede and ultimately suppress the prosecution of Donald Trump. And if you don't believe it, then all you need to do is connect the dots. First, Manhattan District Attorney Bragg announced his criminal charges against ex-President Trump.
Then House Judiciary Republicans abused their power by subpoenaing testimony and records from D.A. Bragg about the ongoing prosecution. And next, they bring this sham hearing to Manhattan, supposedly about crime. But if my colleagues across the aisle were really concerned and really cared about reducing violent crime, they'd work with Democrats to pass common sense gun laws. There are too many gun deaths in this country, and that's why I have joined with my fellow Democrats to co-sponsor bills that would ban assault weapons, strengthen background checks, and fund research into gun violence prevention. Meanwhile, MAGA Republicans continue to resist even the most basic reforms like universal background checks. If Republicans really wanted to stop violent crime, they would be in D.C. right now, working with Democrats to pass common sense gun legislation. Instead, like jackbooted thugs, they've descended on New York City using violent crime as their pretext. The MAGA Republican extremists are not interested in gun violence or even knife violence. The Republican witnesses who have used their time to criticize District Attorney Bragg have served as props in a MAGA Broadway production. The real purpose in coming to New York City...
Can we have order?
The real purpose in coming to New York City...
Gentlemen, we'll suspend.
Stop the clock.
Gentlemen, we'll suspend. For the audience, I've said several times now that the committee has to be in order. If anyone continues, then we're going to have to escort some people out.
Please don't talk Please don't talk down to us witnesses, please.
Yep. The gentleman from Georgia controls the time. Mr. Johnson, you can proceed.
The real purpose in coming to New York City is to harass, intimidate, and threaten Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. We are here because Manhattan District Attorney Bragg announced the indictment of former President Trump, and MAGA United States House Republicans have responded by using their power to try to help ex-President Trump beat the 34 counts of fraud that he has been charged with. MAGA Republican extremists have defended the January 6th insurrectionists, and they are out here today serving as Trump's bulldogs trying to scare a duly elected district attorney from following the facts where they lead and enforcing the law. It is just one more sign that MAGA Republicans are a clear and present danger to our democracy and are actively working to undermine the rule of law, not just federally, but also on the state and local levels. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield the balance of my time to the gentleman from New York's 18th District, the Honorable Congressman Adriano Espaillat.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, ranking member, and thank you.
All right, so there you go. So Hank Johnson says that if you don't like the gun violence, then you're a MAGA extremist.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just... I mean, I don't understand these people. I guess, do they have somebody that protects them or something? Do they have guards with guns? I mean, there's a lot of places right now that, I mean, I would be really nervous if I didn't have protection. I mean, where I live, I don't so much worry about it, but then again, you just never know. I mean, I saw a video today. A guy went into, this was I think 3 or 4 days ago, a guy went into, it's during the day, into a Walmart, and just starts, takes a hammer and starts bashing the jewelry counter. Just one at a time, went around and boom, boom, and you know the glass would just break. And he walked around all four sides, busted everything. and, you know, a couple people ran out, and they were just like, you know, stay away, get away from him. And luckily, I guess, I don't know where it was, but I know nobody had guns, and they did arrest him. I mean, somebody called the police, and it said they did, I think they got him as he was coming out of the store, but I'm just like, I don't know. People are cuckoo these days. You have to wonder if the shot has caused part of it.
No, I doubt that.
Oh.
But you know what causes this? The fact that they go on record, these Democrat operatives, and they say we're not going to prosecute people because they're black. So you, that has a criminal mindset, just says, oh, man, we just won the lottery.
Yep,
we're going to go ahead and do it up, because what are they going to do?
No, that's true. I mean, where do they think that these criminals are going to go? You know, are they going to go to somebody that they know has a gun? Or are they going to go to somebody that they know doesn't have any protection? I mean, hello. It's the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, for that guy to say that in Chicago, the new mayor, I mean, my gosh, they're just going to go crazy. I mean, if they know that there's not going to be police officers coming after them, that's just wrong. I mean, that's racist. Talk about racist. I mean, that is clearly racist. And, you know, who was that? What was that shooting? Or that, just a while back, that young kid that those cops stopped? Oh, was it, where was it? Was it Memphis or somewhere? I'm going blank on where it was. But that was black cops that killed a black person. There wasn't even a white person involved in that one.
Oh, I remember that in Memphis where a black cop was involved with five black kids that did some kind of shooting or violence, and they blamed white people for that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I just, there's a lot more work to be done. I think we're far from being out of the jungle. But talking about that too, somebody mentioned, they were talking about the digital currency. And this is how dangerous it could be, because I didn't even think about this point. But somebody said they heard that there could be time limits on the digital currency, meaning no generational wealth. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, anybody that votes this in, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. I mean,
I would like to share with you the number.
There'll be people
I'm trying to block somebody real quick here.
Oh, okay, sure.
There we go. Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I really don't think it's going to happen, though. I mean, I think most people don't want it, even on the left. I think
Really, unless you're a criminal, you're not going to support this kind of criminal activity. You'd be a fool.
Yeah.
There's nobody that you can interview that says, yeah, I think it's a good thing to allow people to mug people on the subway without getting arrested.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrifying in New York right now. Yeah, well, it's obviously Chicago. But literally, you know, that's how people get around in New York. And they aren't safe. I mean, not safe in any way. I've seen so many videos of things going on, you know, and you see the videos of literally them pushing people down into the tracks.
Yeah.
It's just barbaric.
And that's why there's women like that stood up and say this is not acceptable. But
yeah,
then
no,
she's called a Republican.
Yeah. She spoke well. I mean, I hope she keeps fighting, and I hope she gets some justice, because those people should not be, you know, free. I mean, how can anybody not see that this is not a political game that Braggs is playing? I mean, if what he said was true, he wouldn't have let these criminals out. So, I know they said Chicago is like the murder capital, obviously, of the U.S. They said it's even becoming like the murder capital of the world. Such a shame. I used to go there like once a year, but I haven't been there for years. That's not safe. Not at all. One of my daughter's friends, I know she's getting ready to open a business there, and I'm just thinking, oh, I don't think that's the place I would choose. But I guess there's a reason. Just hope it's not a mistake.
Hey, Vito's here. I'm going to go ahead and let Vito jump in here from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Or he's
sure.
In the truck.
What's up? How are you? Yep, I'm in the truck right now. You know, it's funny hearing Hank Johnson speak. He speaks like a buffoon. He's the same idiot that said that the island of Guam was going to tip over because it's so overpopulated on one side. So that man does – whatever that man says, I take with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but he's been reelected
and that's
like
the
seven
truth.
Times.
That's because the people that live in his district are freaking morons.
Oh.
Not much more you can say about that. It's like the people that voted for Adams. Adams goes, you would think the way that things are going, Eric Adams turned around and said, you know, Jim Jordan should be worried about, you know, his own state where he comes from, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio has more crime than New York City.
Yeah,
I'm like, it may. I mean, I was in Columbus just the other day. I mean, you know, I don't go around. I don't walk around the town. You know, unless I'm armed, but you know, that's a different story. I mean, I don't go there to drink. I don't go to the party. I may go to the casino that's right nearby where I work, you know, where my terminal is, and that's about it. You know, I'll get some Chinese food. Other than that,
I'm going to jump in for a second. I need like 3 minutes. You two could talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more concerned about, you know, when I'm in New York City walking around than I am anywhere else in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, when he said that about the crime being worse in Ohio, what kind of crime was he talking about? You know, that might be a little bit of a gray area, too, because, you know, maybe it's not like violent crimes in Ohio, where in New York, it's violent crime.
New York City has gotten really bad.
It scares me to death because my daughter travels there for work, and I'm just like, oh. But
yeah, well,
what are you going to do?
I don't. No, there really is nothing you can do.
No.
You know, you just have to, you know, you hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only thing you can do. I mean, the you know, you had that woman. She lost her son. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, but, you know, why was she dragged out now? Why couldn't she be, you know, why wasn't she, you know, being very, hold on a second, I'm sorry about that. Why wasn't she out there during these last round of elections?
Yeah.
You know, we could have used her voice. Her voice would have been very,
yeah.
You know, would have been ideal.
Absolutely. That's true. I never thought about that. Because, yeah, that was 2018. So, I mean, I don't know if it just has to do with... I don't know. That's a good point. But I said, you know, that what's his name? The little...
Who Nadler?
The guy that was sitting next to the left of Jordan. What is his name?
It had to be Nadler. He's another piece
and,
of crap.
Oh, I know. He, like, showed her no empathy whatsoever. You know, he just sat up there with that little, some people just need to be knocked off their little pedestal.
No, he's a disgusting
sure.
human being, Jerry Nadler.
Yeah.
It was either
he
him
really
or
was.
Carolyn Maloney. When he was asked about, I think it was the last election, he was asked about something, about crime or, I forget what it was. But he turned around and said basically the same thing. Whatever you talk about doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
And like I said, they just used this hearing, they just used it for, as an opportunity to talk again about getting rid of guns.
You know, we got California. You heard what California's doing now, right?
No.
They are going full communist now. Now the electric rates in California will be based on how much you pay, how much you earn.
Well, now what will it be based on how much you earn?
So to pay for your electric rate will be based on how much you earn in the state of California.
Oh, that's wow.
That is full-blown communism now.
Yeah, that's
and this guy Newsom, Newsom, really? Come on, man. You know, Newsom is related to Pelosi, from what I understand. And,
yeah,
you know, he's doing this. He's going to be as corrupt as she is. And that's a fact.
Yeah, and he's in denial, too. I mean, I listened to him. He made some kind of a video or speech, what was that, a week or two ago, and he's hilarious. He literally said the rest of the country needs to be doing what California's doing.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
What?
He's a moron.
Yeah,
he's a moron.
You want freedom in California, you don't want to go to Florida where there's communism. Where they're not allowed.
Yeah, they're complaining. Proof. Listen, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I always say that. And Newsom is out there saying that Florida's burning books like they were doing in Nazi Germany. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I read about that, and people don't even they don't even have any idea what the book was. I mean, crazy.
No, they don't know what the book was. That's the thing. They have no clue as to what they're doing.
Right. My gosh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it, if they somehow get him freaking up for presidency and get him in there. I hope.
Well, that's what they would like.
You know, But to put it out there that they're gonna charge people electric rates based on their income. So now you're telling me now an electric company is gonna know how much you make a year?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
with
your social credit score, of course.
Oh.
You know, so I mean, oh, Look, I can't wait for the fun to start. I always say that to people, and
yeah.
I really, really can't wait for the fun to start because it's going to start. And
yeah.
I have, and I plan on having a seat when it starts. So
yeah.
This is going to be good.
Yep. I'm ready. I really am. So I'm sick of this. I'm like, let's just get on with it. You know? It, but...
You know, but if I plan on it, it's going to start soon because, like, you know, I had called up another radio show during the week, the guy David Webb. I had called him up years ago. Years ago, I had spoken to him when he was on the regular radio, and I asked him. I said, Dave, at what point do we start pushing back? You know, and he gave a decent answer, you know, but, you know, he knew what I was getting at, and, you know, because, you know, they're pushing, they're doing their thing, and listen, you know, sometimes you have to be just like the enemy. It may be hard to stomach, but you got to do it, and, you know, I called him the other day, and I asked him, I said, Dave, you know, I called you a few years back when you were on Special Radio, and I asked you a question. When do we push back? At what point do we start pushing back? And he gave me the answer, you know, the violence is not the way to go. I said, but that's all they understand is violence. They'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll rob, they'll do whatever they can to get ahead. And if that doesn't work, then violence it is. So,
yeah, and that's
cowards. And I try to tell that to him. And, you know, even, you know, I mean, I respect his opinion, but at the same time, he's got to understand, we are in a cold civil war. It has not gone hot yet, and it's going to go hot.
Yeah.
And that is the truth. And anyone says me otherwise, I'm going to tell them what? I'll tell them they're crazy.
Yeah, because
you know they're also now starting to say that trees, plants are no good now because it creates too much carbon. All right, because at night, this is what I heard today
about that like a year ago where they said they want to cut down every tree and bury it in the ground.
Oh
yeah,
my
exactly.
God.
Yeah, and they want to, but who's the number one producer of carbon dioxide in the world?
A Republican?
A human being. Well, same difference. But
yeah, you're right.
People,
yeah.
I mean, they're coming, I tell them, they're coming for us. You know, whoever got their vaccine, you know. You know, they're coming for us.
Yep.
They are coming, and they are coming hard. And people don't
want to
hear.
Yeah, I think they're
going to
be in for a rude awakening, though, when they see who's waiting for them. Because I don't think they have a clue.
Because they all say, you know, I tell people, I says, yeah, when it starts and they come for you and you're going to say, but I'm on your side, see what they're going to do to you.
Yeah.
See what they're gonna do to you when you say, "But I'm on your side." It's like the Jews. Proof. It's like the Jews that were in the concentration camps. I don't know why they're doing this to us. We voted for them.
Oh, did you hear me last hour when I said there's only one other nation in the last 100 years that has had a war against the world and with their own people at the same time, and that was 1940 Germany. So.
Yeah,
we're turning into that.
History's going to repeat itself, like I tell people. History will repeat itself.
Yeah, if we let it. Yeah. I mean, if we let it, it sure will.
It's going to repeat itself, man. And they said they want to go after the Saturday people and the Sunday people.
So, yeah.
Come on down.
Sure.
You know, but the first thing they need to do And it's not going to, they're not going to be able to do it without doing this first. They have to take the guns away from us.
Yep, it's not going to happen.
That ain't happening.
Nope.
Well, they can in places like Chicago and in New York City. That's working out great.
Yeah, Chicago, yeah. Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, but did you hear the new communist mayor of Chicago when he said the first thing he's going to sign when he officially gets in is that white people are not allowed to police black kids or black people. Only black can police black people.
Proof stopped.
You think
really
I'm kidding?
Said that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Poof.
Why do you think I'm lying? Why would I lie about stuff like that?
Wow. I got to look that one up. I got to hear that.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Wow. That's insane. I mean, are people moving out of Chicago? That would be.
Well, of course, but they'll tell you that that they're moving because they've suddenly become racist.
Yeah. Who's called? I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, the people that bring up that stuff are the ones that are keeping it alive. That is for sure.
Yeah, so the world is just being put in the boxes right now. So what's next? A trans person can only be arrested by a trans police officer?
Yeah. No joke.
That sounds like another Broccoli Man episode waiting to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That episode, Megan Kelly did a great interview with, they're not transgenders, but they almost went there and they didn't, that's not what they were looking for. They were kind of shoved that direction, but it was a great interview, and I think there's a movie coming out, and I forget what the name of it's called, but I think they're in it, and you know, they tell the truth about the ugly side of it, and you know, this woman was like, you know, yes, we are gay, but we are not, I had no desire to ever change my sexual orientation. So, and the pretty young girl, and, you know, she had been abused, she had been sexually abused, so that confused her. And, you know, that happened so many times. We know this is true, that a lot of these people who tend to get confused about those issues is they've been sexually abused in some form. And anyway, her parents took her to a psychologist. They thought she might help, but it was a bad idea because the psychologist that they used was pushing this girl to change her sex.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl ended up, they ended up putting her on testosterone, and she changed a little bit. She was a singer, so she had a beautiful voice, and then so she changed a little bit, and then Megan shows her singing as she had changed a little bit, and her voice went deep. It was really weird. It was still pretty, but it was weird. And then finally she stopped taking the testosterone. She said, no, this is not what I want. This is not what I wanted. They've gotten her back. She's back to being, you know, what she was in the first place. And she can sing again, but her voice still isn't completely back the way it was originally. It's just sad. It's a sickening thing. I mean, I don't care what they do. No, a man can never truly be a woman, and a woman can never truly be a man. You just, I'm sorry. It's not possible. Even the pelvis, the bones of the pelvis, you can tell by looking at a skeleton what is male and female. They are different. The female has a pelvis that has a wider opening so that a child can pass through. I mean, most people may not know that, but it's the truth. So it's just, you know, and I like, there's another gal that she's been interviewing from London who's been getting attacked left and right. So she's speaking up about it because she's tired of women's rights being so abused right now. And, you know, she said, so what do you tell people when they ask you what the definition of a woman is? And she said, I tell them, an adult female human. And I thought, wow. I'm like, that's perfect. I mean, that's, you know, that's it. So it's just, there's some, you know, strong women out there stepping up, and but it's going to get ugly there too. So a lot of work ahead, but we can do it. I mean, that's the one thing. I guess I don't have fear. I really don't, because I don't know. I feel like I know I'm fighting for humanity and for the right thing, you know. Especially the protection of our kids. I mean, I guess that's probably what gets me going the most. Because I just can't handle the thought of children being hurt and what they're doing to these teenagers. And it's just awful. Just awful. Parents really got to hold their kids close right now. That's for sure. And these schools, I mean, I don't know. I really, well, heck, when my kids were younger, I remember I interviewed 3 different schools before I chose which one to put them into. And that was so long ago. It's so much worse today.
I mean, you saw what Washington State is doing, right?
What was it?
They just passed the Washington State. They just passed the bill. They're basically taking the kids away from their parents. If you're a kid who seeks shelter because your parents don't want to give you gender affirming care.
Yeah.
They don't have to tell you. They don't have to tell the parents that the kids are with them.
You know what? That's crazy.
It's crazy.
There's got to be a way that you can step in there and sue. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just not right. How is that? There's no way that's legal.
Well, like I've said plenty of times, whenever a school or a person says don't tell your parents, that's when you should always tell your parents.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you got to sit your kid down and you say, if anybody ever comes to you when your parents aren't around and says, you know, you should never tell your parents this, absolutely, you tell them at that moment. You get away from them and you, you know, get to your parents as soon as you can and tell them. I mean, it's just, I really don't want to know. I don't know what I would do if they took, well, my kids are adults now, but if they took my grandchildren, I honestly don't know what I would flip out. They wouldn't want to have to deal with me. It really wouldn't.
It's crazy.
So.
It is crazy. There's lunacy out there now.
I just wonder how the general population of like homosexuals feel about this stuff. Because I don't think that they're all okay with the promotion of this transgender stuff. Surely not. I mean, because there's a lot of gay people out there, but they don't want to change their physical body. Right?
Well, the average person who happens to be gay, I think, does not want to mess with whatever anybody else wants to live with. You should be able to live with and be with who you want, not what society tells you. And
yeah,
just because
exactly.
they happen to sleep with the same gender that they are doesn't mean that they have carte blanche to tell you who you're supposed to live with.
Right.
But then again, they're the ones that want to ban heterosexual marriage because it's liberal. It's the liberal thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Things are going crazy now, and Proof, the more I think about it, like you said, I think they're gonna put Michelle Obama.
Ah. Oh.
Well,
I really
he is a nice
different.
Lady. I gotta give him that.
Would they be this quiet about it right now?
Well, I think the only way that they're gonna be able to save Brandon, you'll have people that swore they would never vote for a Democrat again. All of a sudden, you get Michael Robinson coming out of nowhere, and those same people have Etch-a-Sketch at, oh, I got to vote for a black lady to come to be in office.
Meanwhile, it's not even a lady.
I know. I tell you what, that picture... I mean, I really have to think about that. But he did have two daughters.
I mean,
were they adopted?
Yeah.
Yes, they were adopted.
Were they really?
Yes, they were.
Oh my gosh.
You Google the name, the parents of the Obama girls, and you'll see who the parents
were.
What are their names?
Sasha, Malia, or something like that?
Malia and Sasha,
wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
wow.
They look just like their biological parents. They don't look nothing like Michelle Obama.
Oh,
I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, wow. So
and like one person said, have we ever seen photos of Michelle Obama pregnant? No. Because it don't exist.
You haven't even seen
Have
them
we ever
like,
seen Michelle Obama?
With, like the kids being young.
Say again, Paul?
Well, that's
I said
true.
You haven't even seen the kids like 2 years old or anything.
No,
yeah, like
we haven't seen them in
pictures.
The strollers. We haven't seen nothing.
Oh, boy.
Well, we got Big Mike on the night that Obama won the primary. Coming out on stage with a bulge in her crotch, and you know, and as soon as I saw her, I was like, "That's a guy." The moment I saw him, I was like, "That is a dude."
I had no idea. I really had no idea. I've got to dive into that one some more.
That's a dude, plain and simple.
So
no lie.
But you know, every time I think of her, though, I think of Oprah Winfrey because, you know, she promoted her so much. Not him. Whoever. I don't even know what. I wonder if she's still living in Chicago. What she thinks about Chicago, but she, of course, has. Protection.
Sanity.
Ugh.
All right. Well, we know what. Go ahead. Go ahead, Christine. I'm just giving fair warning. It's almost time for Mr. Broccoli.
Okay.
There you go.
So does anybody care that they've found out that Zelensky stole like $400 million of the money we sent over there?
Well, that's why we have to send more.
Yeah. And now Biden wants to give the illegal aliens free government health care and all that stuff. And I don't care.
They want to put them on unemployment.
Yeah. You know, I'm okay.
They want to give illegals unemployment if they can't find a job. Come on,
oh,
now.
Oh, my God.
You guys are kidding me.
Yeah, no. You got to take care of our people first. This is crazy.
Listen, our people are slow. Listen, they're brainwashing our people with all the pot that's out there today.
True.
That's what they're doing.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I swear that's what's hurting my business is because that stuff is legal now here, and I think all of my customers are freaking spending it on that rather than coming to my store. And I wouldn't. I mean,
that's all that that's about now.
Yeah. And what those people don't know is the federal government can take their guns if they know they're using it. If they have a medical card.
Yeah, if you have a medical card, absolutely. You're going to lose your firearms.
Yep. That's the way they're going to do it. They're going to legalize it everywhere, and so many people will be like, oh, great. And then they'll get that surprise.
Just like Jokey Smurf, right?
And what about the video? Did you guys see the video of those cops going to the wrong house and shooting that innocent man?
No.
There was... They sent these police officers to an address. They were going... It was like really...
Oh, they went to the wrong house.
Morning.
I heard about it, yes.
Yeah, and they went... They had the wrong address, and they have the video, and you can hear they released the cops... recording, and they go, is this the right address? You know, is it blah, blah, blah? And they're like, no, it's this. And the guy goes, oh, crap, we're at the wrong house. And so they start walking back, and the guy finally gets to the door and opens the door, and I think he has a gun, and they just shoot him. They just start shooting him. And then you eventually hear, like, I guess his wife come down crying. Oh, my God. And I think they shot her, too. So it's just, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but that can't be good. So you've got ignorance on so many sides. I don't know why those guys did that, because I watched the video and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm just cowards, and cowards shouldn't be wearing badges. I'm sorry. They just shouldn't. Don't get me wrong. I support police. But, my gosh, that kind of stuff has to stop. For sure.
All right. Is it time for Mr. Broccoli to come out?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I think I sent it to you, but I could send it again.
Let me see if I got the right one.
Maybe I did. Yes.
Is it? Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay. I'm ready.
Oh, that was fast.
I had it set up.
Okay. All right, so consent. This is featuring the wiretap. So I'll count down 3, 2, 1, action. We'll be right back.
called it right there, green dude. You are hereby coming with me, sir.
What now, wiretap? I already told you. I am not showing you my kumquats.
I disagree, sir. But we will deal with it later. But for now, you have arrested too many people who are getting with minors, sir. The United Nations has dum-diddly-dum-did get rid of the sexual age of consent. Now anyone at any age can get their freak on with any one person that demands sex with them, sir. We are now detaining anyone who arrested these people with no reason, sir.
What kind of sick perverts will approve this mess? I already knew this from you.
Gee, globalist said he does not care who we diddle. As long as we eradicate the 99% dolts that are the lemmings of society.
We are not accepting this.
You are going to accept this. Now let's get you to that FEMA camp that does not exist.
No. Make me.
That was the wrong choice of words, is green dude. You keep stepping in it. Just for that outburst, you're now going to force me to run my hands through your long flowing mane. Then I need to see if your carpet matches the drapes on your person. So you now require to place your dungarees and that blouse right here on the ground next to my person. For all we know, you might be hiding some handguns, some nunchucks, or some vitamin C inside your junk.
I only have lemonade inside my junk. And only enough for one glass.
Not funny, green dude. Not even a little bit. Just for that, I need to grapple with your eye of the tiger. Right here, right now.
Do what?
It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. Rising up to the challenge of our rival. And the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night, and he's watching us all. With the eye of the tiger.
Please tell me that did not just happen.
It just happened, green dude. Now let us get some Bud Lights in the Dylan Mulvaney can, show our junks to the kindergarteners at Drag Queen Story Time, and go meet G. Lobalist for a spot of tea and spotted dick. My favorite dessert ever is spotted dick.
I think the whole world knew that.
Everyone might know that. But did you know, you can save 15% or more on your insurance by switching to that gecko on the TV, sir?
Anyway, I would never drink Bud Light. I stay away from woke companies.
I feel sorry for you, green dude. I only support woke companies. Dorks like you need to support our GMO mega corporations so we can root out all the small farmers. You do know Bill Gates owns the most farmland in the United States for a reason. Right, green dude?
You can take that GMO food and shove it up your...
That was an unacceptable conversation, sir. Just for that, I am going to give you a COVID gene therapy and an COVID anal swab. While you remove your underoos and your blouse, I need you to present me with that hole in said buttock so I can check to verify if you have any strain of COVID, sir.
You do realize that Brandon signed off ending the COVID emergency in April 20th, 23, right?
Brandon does not run a policy, sir. We are just waiting for Governor Gruesome or Michael Robinson Obama to take over as president. Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady. Why are you something that scares laughing?
Only fools like Brandon. Most of the world knows that the globalists are trying to kill off the world.
Which is why we are placing you under arrest. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you need to zip it.
Hey everyone. Stop getting programmed by watching the smell of vision. All those stations are owned by globalists. You need to watch real news. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Also check out the show schedule so you can find all the other shows to listen to. freedomizerradio.com.
You take back every single syllable of that horrendous outburst, green dude. You 99% are nothing but fools and useless eaters. You need to watch all the drag queens on the TV diddling childrens. You also need to be watching Peoing with the Stars and also drink Bud Light. It is not fair that you out there stop drinking your beers just because we need all of you to become woke Democrat libtards. We are coming for all those childrens and there is nothing you can do about it.
All right, so hope you liked it.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It was good.
I'm waiting. I know you're never going to do that. One of these days, I'm just going to love it when he, Broccoli Man, reaches up and just knocks the daylights out of him.
Which sick pervert would authorize this? And then the wiretap raises his hand.
Yeah. So, what's the deal with Biden and what is that, Mayorkas?
The border czar.
Oh, is that who that is?
The guy that's in charge of that.
Okay, it's saying that they announced the closure of human trafficking camps in Darien Gap following the Brideon, Michael Yon, Natural News, InfoWars, bombshell videos exposing mass human suffering, violence, and rape. It's interesting. I wonder. Darien Gap. I don't even know where that is. Interesting.
I do know that there's one small pocket that people come through that they said they were going to close down, but there's ways around it.
Yep.
Sure.
It's like saying in New York City, in order to slow down traffic at Grand Central Station, we're going to close down the gate number 22 where the trains go.
Right.
Like that. That's going to slow down process.
Yeah. That you're right. It says it's one of the most dangerous routes. Okay. That's what it is. 66 miles. 66 mile route through the Darien Gap. Okay.
Yes, not very impressive.
So they'll just fly him in now. They'll just bring him in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to make it look like they're doing something.
Yeah. I wish I could figure out a way that we could implement somehow a strategy to truly find out in each community, like, how many people are just sick of everything going on and ready to just change it all. Or like they said.
Yeah, but are they sick enough of it to actually do something about it? And that's the question.
Yeah, I know, because they have...
Just saying, I don't like it. That's like all those people that put those scams on their face. They say, I don't like it, but then they do it. So when they do it, they're not asking you if they like it. because once you give someone your money and they give you your products and you say thank you, that means you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
That's just life.
You know, and that's, yeah, and that's the problem. They've got, you know, they've been planning this for so many years because look at how many people are just worn out. You know, both parents work. Some of them work two jobs. Then they have to come home. They take care of the kids. You know, and people are worn out. And they just, they, you know, they don't. They're like, I have nothing else. And they don't have it bad enough yet, I guess, to where they do have to do anything else. But it's getting bad. I mean, just look at the things they're talking about, like these fully automated McDonald's and just the Walmarts and just the things they're talking about. It's like, people just have to, I mean, people have got to start making the choices that are going to change things. You know, you really have, like I always say, there's power in the pocketbook. You know, they're watching everything you're buying right now. And it's best if we can all just get money out and pay for everything.
And just think, they're telling Walmart that they're racist because they won't keep a Walmart open in San Francisco or Portland, Oregon. And they're closing them down in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia and Chicago in the crime-ridden areas. And they're told now that they're racist when they're losing thousands and thousands of dollars a day and the employees don't feel safe going to work. But that's because all of a sudden, hey, they're all going to vote Republican. Let's get our money out of there. Like, that's the reason why. Yeah, I don't think so.
Right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I still don't understand how a lot of these people are surviving, because it seems like, to me, there's still a lot of jobs out there. And I'm like, have they died off? Are they injured?
Yeah, there's jobs.
It's not working.
The thing is, like, I'm one of those people that I see signs that says now hiring for Arby's and you can make $9.75 an hour. Sorry. I'm not saying you have to work minimum wage. I'm not going to tell people that they have to become a wagee.
Yeah, no.
Well, you see now they want to raise the minimum wage to $30 an hour now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I thought they had it raised to like $15 an hour or something.
That's not good enough.
That was just the initial. That's just to get them in the door. Now they once they get in the door, the sky's the limit.
Oh. And then we
That's
have
the
dilemma with the freaking food, the mRNA. Injections now going into animals, and now they're even growing plants with, they said it's very easy, grow these vaccines in plants, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, please help
That's
us,
next.
Because, I
next.
Mean, literally, we've got to develop, we need to develop our own government and put together our own military, our own, I mean, we have to have a whole new society and start going after these people.
Well, that's what the Great Reset
is
supposed to be for. That's what they're doing.
And they're proud of that reset.
I mean, why can't we create our little world economic fantastic form, you know?
Because when somebody stands up, everybody just hits a like button, but they don't ever want to support it. That's why. That's exactly why.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when people get off their ka-dunk-a-dunk-dunks like they did with the U.S. trucker strike, you see how fast everything changes.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's a struggle. I mean, I know, you know, it's not so easy to make a lot of, to keep up with the money like most of us were used to coming in. So, but I did hear that a lot of jobs are looking to hire the older people now because of their work ethic. They're saying they're tired of dealing with younger generation. They don't like the way they work.
The younger generation is really screwed up.
I know. Yeah.
Well, they don't even know what pronouns they use, so how can you trust them?
They are really screwed
up. I have a hard time hiring somebody if they don't know their pronoun.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just what's really scary too is people, the younger generation that when you go to like pay for something with cash, you know, they really can't do the change thing. And if you throw a curve, it's like, you know, like a few cents over and they go ahead and ring it through and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I've got that few cents. And you hand it to them. I mean, they don't know what to do. They can't figure that out. It's just really scary. They've got them, I guess that's where they want them, you know.
So, Vito, what city are you in now?
Right now, I am I'm in Maryland, just outside of Baltimore.
Okay.
I was up in Massachusetts this morning, and I'm just driving down to going down to Salisbury, North Carolina.
Are you traveling?
Well, he's a
truck
driver.
You could say that.
I gotcha. Okay. So
good job. It's interesting.
Yeah. I bet. Boy, I can't imagine what you had to deal with during the shutdown and everything going on.
Well, I just started doing this recently, so.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't get the vaccine, so I was looking for a job where I could work without the vaccine. And I wanted to do this. I've had the itch to do this for many years, and when I heard that you didn't have to get vaccinated to do this job, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Good for you. Good for you. And you know, the thing of it is, and that was the biggest psyop of all throughout this whole thing is, you know, so many people believe that they had to get that shot, and then so many corporations believe they had the authority to fire people. I mean, it's just, and now there are a lot of them, you know, happen to hire people back, and some of them happen to, I think, catch up on the funds maybe they didn't pay them, but it's like, good luck with that. You know, the company's probably going to go belly up. They really try to do all that. So, I wonder why they want, why can't they leave the Amish people alone?
Why?
Because
why are they doing the Amish?
That's
to make them get
an example,
the vaccine?
That's why.
Because why?
It sets an example.
Oh.
What are they doing to the Amish?
It just is saying that there's armed federal agents threatening them to embrace pesticides or be destroyed. Just for the past 10 years. Let's see where this is.
says they've been targeting and harassing a Washington, D.C. area Amish farm for elimination. Miller's Organic Farm. Oh, I've heard about this. Yeah, they have. They've been trying to shut them down. They have a food club, and I remember reading about this.
Viva yeah, but Frey, one thing you know about the Democrats is they keep vendettas, and they will go after you for anything and for any reason, and they don't stop until they win. We don't have that mentality.
True. Relentless evil.
Because we realize that at some point that it's not worth beating a dead horse. They don't care. They'll spend their whole lives beating a dead horse if it means that they win.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
true.
Yep. They're saying that their farm has been raided again and again by the feds. And he's been falsely accused of selling tainted raw milk and other products. They've literally been doing this. They want all their food records dating back to 2012. But the guy, Miller, the farmer, he's refusing, citing contractual requirements for keeping this information private. So, I mean, he's holding his ground, and he's got Barnes, the attorney. I don't know if you guys have heard of Viva Frey, Viva and Barnes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So Barnes is his attorney. And, man, he's good. And he knows his stuff. And so I think they're doing okay, but it's just insane that they can get away with this.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, and it's like, you know, you hear about supposedly all these underground military and people gathering in different places. It's like nobody ever steps up to help these people, it seems like. Sad. Isn't it, though, is it the Carolinas where they say that they do have a lot of those groups, I've heard? So I said I hope so.
What kind of, what, Amish?
No, just like, I'm trying to remember what movie I watched that they showed a little bit of it. Now, supposedly there's just, you know, like in the backwoods and people living in the country that they have formed, you know, they get together privately and they have little, like, groups, military, armies, or whatever you want to call them, that they're not there to cause harm, but they're there supposedly to help step up and for protection and stuff if there's ever a need. So I don't know. I'm hoping they're out there, but I'm beginning to doubt it. I know I keep up with Doug and Stacy off-road with Doug and Stacy. They're north of me in Missouri. They're in Hannibal, and they're great. I mean, these guys, they've been living off-grid for 15 years. And I mean, truly off-grid. It's amazing what they do. So, and he was talking about, you know, their guy right before the last bad storms we just had and all the heavy rain up there, they said that their skies were just loaded with chemtrails. You know, there were lines everywhere. And then I heard the same thing in Florida. You know, I have a couple of friends down there, and they said literally the sky was just blown up with chemtrails. And then they had this massive, you know, 1,000-year rain. So I have to believe that they're causing a lot of this weather to happen.
Well, of course, they're motivated to do so.
Yeah. Well, what I think they said, they started doing it back in the 30s. You know, they started, they knew they had the technology and started messing with it.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, I said, why, you would think it would be so simple that, like, any of us could just literally bring up a lawsuit to the government for so many different things, for failing to do so many different things. You know, they're working for us, and they have failed us in so many ways. And, you know, what their job is and what they're supposed to be doing, they're not. So, you know, our life and our liberty and our pursuit of happiness is like, yeah, good luck with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know, you know, the people that do the national, that become nationalists, I know they were speaking about, there is a way once you, I don't know, I try to study so much and keep up with so much. So I just haven't had the time to dig into the nationalist thing. And so I don't know if he meant that you had to be a nationalist in order to do this, but there's some way that you can send a letter to one of the government departments, and if they don't respond, you literally get thousands of dollars. And they said there's a lot of times that they don't. So basically you write them the letter stating, talking about this stuff, how that they violated the very things they're supposed to be protecting. And so I don't know. But like I said, one of these days, I get the time and then I can dig into that. But I'm still studying health and doing stuff like that. So unfortunately, I think so many people are going to need help, health-wise, with everything they're doing, trying to inject this junk into the meat. And supposedly they've been doing it since 2018. They've been injecting it into the pork. So, and I have suspicions that they've probably been doing it probably even before then. So it's a little bit scary because, you know, part of me wants to say, wait a minute, they're injecting these, so they're taking these vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, and injecting them into these animals, which get into their cells and cause this, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. And so then the cows are processed, or the pork's processed, and then you eat it. It's like, can these things really survive? You know, you cook it, and that's what I need to study the science more, because I'm thinking, can they really? And then I think, but wait a minute, pork supposedly, you know, they're the closest to human as far as some of the physical makeup. You know, they use the arteries and stuff they used to transfer the arteries from pigs into humans for, you know, the open heart and stuff. And so I'm thinking, maybe it is possible, but I don't know. I don't understand. It's hard to understand why more people don't, I think, see things the way we see them. It's like, doesn't everyone just want to have, you know, want to be happy and have, I don't know.
Yeah, but one thing you learn about liberals is that there's no making a liberal happy. Their only happiness is taking away your happiness. That's the only way you can make a liberal happy.
So basically, the saying "misery loves company." That's what they want.
Yes.
They're all miserable, and they're. Oh.
Absolutely. God. Anyway, Proof, let me run.
All right.
I gotta run. I gotta take care of some things here. It's gonna be. I gotta be outside. It's gonna be a little noisy. But I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for
bye,
checking
in.
Bye, Vito.
Thanks, Proof. Thanks again. Bye-bye, man.
All right,
so
what's left
everything.
Here? Oh, here's something new. Although it's not a new story, but you have India who started banning exporting rice because of global warming.
So they're no longer going to be exporting rice?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Philippines and Indonesia, China, they are going to be affected as well.
Oh, so they won't be shipping it to any of those countries either?
Yeah, so that means that countries like Vietnam and Thailand, who do a lot of rice exporting, they're just going to pick up that workload.
Huh. Well, I know.
They're saying it's because of global warming that they're going to stop.
That's just the stupidest thing. Interesting. You know, let me find, I posted it today. You may already know this. Let's see here, activity. It was about, let me just put a guy's name. Because I didn't know this, and it's so cool. Look at that. Here it is. Do you ever hear of a David Latimer?
No.
Latimer. In 1960, this David Latimer, he planted a tiny garden inside of a large glass bottle and sealed it shut. He opened the bottle 12 years later in 1972 to add some water and then sealed it for good. The self-contained ecosystem has flourished for nearly 60 years. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, they're saying for those who wonder how this is possible, it's because the garden is perfectly balanced and self-sufficient ecosystem. So the bacteria in the compost eat the dead plants and breaks down the oxygen that is released by the plants, turning it into carbon dioxide, which is needed for photosynthesis. The bottle is essentially a microcosm of Earth. I mean, and it shows the bottle. It's this giant glass bottle.
You think I've
like
seen that.
Filled. It is so cool. I mean, all the answers that we ever need are right there. Nature, our greatest resource. You know? They're just all too stupid. Well, no, they're not too stupid. They don't want to learn from nature because they know they can't make money off of it. I mean, that's where all our answers are.
Sorry if you hear my dog whooping in the background.
That's okay. It's good. They're barking. I guess they're warning me something's out there. That is interesting to think about, but it makes complete sense because it's got the bacteria, it's got the food, you know, it's got everything in there that it needs. But this carbon thing is just going too far.
Well, I think strongly that whoever is deciding that you need to bury trees because of global warming, that is Satan right there, because who else is even going to think about stuff like that?
Yes. Very true. I've got, there's one of my customers listening. He's cracking up. Hey, James, if you're listening, he likes the Mike Michelle Obama talk.
Well, he is a nice lady, though. I'm not going to deny that.
Oh, I've got to research that one a whole lot, because I just haven't done it. I've got to look into this for sure. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be another thing I get attacked for. I'm going to be accused of being a conspiracy theorist again. So, but that's okay. Quite used to it now. Quite used to it. I guess that's it. All right. So, I'm going to try to dive into next week. I had a busy weekend, so I didn't get too much done. We had our family get together finally. But I'm reading that book, Emerging Viruses on AIDS and Ebola, by Lynn Horowitz. I have no doubt that they created AIDS. No doubt. I mean, I'm not going to speak too much on it right now, but I'm digging into it and trying to see what's going on. But it definitely looks like they did.
Well, I think you'll appreciate the article I just sent you.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to look at it. Oh my gosh. Is that for freaking real?
Well, why would I lie about that?
Oh, my word. I mean, this article, where the gateways, oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
so the United Nations wants to decriminalize sex between minors and adults. And there's not even an age that they are even announcing is adequate. They're trying to say that it's improper to tell a child what they are and are not allowed to do.
If they are really going to truly try to go there, they're probably going to meet, they have no idea how strong parents can be, especially mothers. I know this because I know how I feel when I hear this stuff. And it's like, I think that I will have superpowers if this kind of stuff starts taking place. I mean, there's just no way. There's just no way.
What's up?
Oh.
Unbelievable. So did you have to do your medicine thing today?
Yeah, that's what my wife just came in here for. Let me find a clip to play real quick.
Okay.
We can listen to Tucker Carlson's show from today if
that's
you want.
Fine. Sure. I actually haven't listened to it, so that's fine.
I thought I uploaded it, but let me get it going real quick.
Okay.
because we'll still listen to it.
Okay.
But I'll play something else while we're waiting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that Megyn Kelly thing, I think, was 6 minutes, but I don't know how many minutes you need.
Well, either way, I have to upload it, so that would...
Oh, I gotcha.
Take a minute.
Yeah, I don't know the technical end on your side on how you do all this.
But if you have an article to share, I can be ready here in a minute.
Okay. I think I... Oh, you mean if I have something? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get back.
Is it after dinner?
Over here. There was an interesting, who was I listening to?
Before you go to bed, take
I think
your
it
call.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
For people.
Yeah.
It was on Rumble. But anyway, they were talking about how people from other countries right now are able to literally sue like Pfizer and some of the manufacturers, and I think even like this even goes for Biden, because they're saying that when there's certain rules for like the United States that you had religious exemptions to refuse to take the injections. So they're saying that if there's circumstances like that that exist in the United States, that you can't, that these pharmaceutical companies cannot go into another country that's from the U.S. and have a different set of rules. They were saying that if, like, that we had the exemption over here, that they had to disclose to them over there that they, too, have that option. So I've got to look into it more, but it's a basis that some people are using, I think, especially in Switzerland. And it's just very interesting that I didn't completely understand it. I've got to look into it more. But I think Biden basically right now, you know how he's still, I don't know if they're still demanding people be injected to get into the country, you know, from other countries. And I don't think that that's legal. I think basically what they're saying is if it's not, you know, if we're not all injected here, that we can live here without it, and you can't demand that of other people coming into the country, if that makes any sense. It does make sense to me.
Yeah, but my question on that would be that there's no more COVID's emergency.
Oh, I know. I know. So that's my question. I'm wondering if they still have the restrictions saying, you know, because they did.
I had
people wanting to come in and they didn't know if they could. But I need to recheck that and see if they've released that. Yeah, the emergency's over. It's all such a joke. Such a joke. Oh, boy. A company. An Illinois trucking company has shut down. Oh, boy. So there's an Illinois trucking company that shut down unexpectedly, leaving drivers stranded and unpaid. Oh, boy.
All right, so, oh, this Tucker Carlson's kind of long.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, we'll listen to this one until we get bored.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
And welcome to Tucker Carlson. Tonight, happy Monday. Artificial intelligence is one of those topics that's just spooky and sci-fi enough to make for a compelling television segment. They love it on the morning shows. But at the same time, AI is complex enough that it's easy to misrepresent. It sounds like something that could be revolutionary, even dangerous to humanity. But is it? And if it is, what should we do about it? Those questions are significant enough that we wanted to find someone who could provide a definitive answer. Elon Musk seemed like the right person. Musk has been thinking about AI and worrying about it for most of his life. Nearly a decade ago, he helped found a nonprofit research project called OpenAI, and the point was in the name. If we're going to have artificial intelligence, and apparently we are, it ought to be open, open to the world. That would help ensure that it's used for good and not evil. That was the idea. But as the years passed and Musk found himself preoccupied building a couple of enormous companies, SpaceX and Tesla, OpenAI got away from him. As of tonight, OpenAI is no longer open. It's not a nonprofit research project dedicated to using artificial intelligence to serve humanity. It is instead a commercial enterprise backed by Microsoft and controlled to some extent by the Democratic Party. Elon Musk thinks that's a problem. In fact, he believes it's a threat to human civilization, tantamount to, maybe even more terrifying than, thermonuclear weapons. The conversation you're about to see took place recently in a hotel room in Los Angeles. We think it's important enough that we're going to play the entire thing for you over the course of tonight and tomorrow. Here's how the conversation began.
So all of a sudden, AI is everywhere. People who weren't quite sure what it was are playing with it on their phones. Is that good or bad?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about AI for a long time, since I was in college, really. It was one of the things that, the sort of four or five things I thought would really affect the future dramatically. It is fundamentally profound in that the smartest creatures, as far as we know, on this Earth are humans, is our defining characteristic.
Yeah.
We're obviously weaker than, say, chimpanzees, and less agile, but we are smarter. So... now, what happens when something vastly smarter than the smartest person comes along in silicon form? It's very difficult to predict what will happen in that circumstance. It's called the singularity. It's, you know, a singularity like a black hole, because
yeah.
you don't know what happens after that. It's hard to predict. So I think we should be cautious with AI, and we should, I think there should be some government oversight. Because it affects it's a danger to the public, and so when you have things that are a danger to the public, you know, like let's say food and drug. That's why we have the Food and Drug Administration,
right.
And the Federal Aviation Administration, the FCC. We have these agencies to oversee things that affect the public, where there could be public harm. And you don't want companies cutting corners on safety and then having people suffer as a result. So that's why I've actually for a long time been a strong advocate of AI regulation. So that I think regulation is, it's not fun to be regulated. It's somewhat arduous to be regulated. I have a lot of experience with regulated industries because, obviously, automotive is highly regulated. You could fill this room with all the regulations that are required for a production car just in the United States, and then there's a whole different set of regulations in Europe and China and the rest of the world. So I'm very familiar with being overseen by a lot of regulators. And the same thing is true with rockets. You can't just willy-nilly, you know, shoot rockets off, not big ones anyway. Because the FAA is, oversees that, and then even to get a launch license, there are probably half a dozen or more federal agencies that need to approve it, plus state agencies. So I've been through so many regulatory situations; it's insane. And the, you know, sometimes people think I'm some sort of like regulatory maverick that sort of defies regulators on a regular basis. But this is actually not the case. Once in a blue moon, rarely I will disagree with regulators. But the vast majority of the time, my companies agree with the regulations and comply. I think we should take this seriously, and we should have a regulatory agency. I think it needs to start with a group that initially seeks insight into AI, then solicits opinion from industry, and then has proposed rulemaking, and then those rules, will probably hopefully grudgingly be accepted by the major players in AI, and I think we'll have a better chance of advanced AI being beneficial to humanity in that circumstance.
So, but all regulations start with a perceived danger, and planes fall out of the sky, or food causes botulism.
Yes.
I don't think the average person playing with AI on his iPhone perceives any danger. Can you just roughly explain what you think the dangers might be?
Yeah, so the danger, really, AI is perhaps more dangerous than, say, mismanaged aircraft design or production maintenance or bad car production, in the sense that it has the potential, however small one may regard that probability, but it is non-trivial. It has the potential of civilizational destruction. There's movies like Terminator, but it wouldn't quite happen like Terminator, because the intelligence would be in the data centers.
Right.
The robot's just the end effector. But I think perhaps what you may be alluding to here is that regulations are really only put into effect after something terrible has happened.
That's correct.
If that's the case for AI, and we only put in regulations after something terrible has happened, it may be too late to actually put the regulations in place. The AI may be in control at that point.
You think that's real? It is conceivable that AI could take control and reach a point where you couldn't turn it off and it would be making decisions for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, that's definitely where things are headed, for sure. The things like say, ChatGPT, which is based on GPT-4 from OpenAI, which
right.
is a company that I played a critical role in creating, unfortunately.
Back when it was a nonprofit?
Yes. The reason OpenAI exists at all is that Larry Page and I used to be close friends, and I would stay at his house in Palo Alto, and I would talk to him late into the night about AI safety. And at least my perception was that Larry was not taking AI safety seriously enough.
What did he say about it?
He really seemed to be once sort of a digital superintelligence, basically digital god, if you will, as soon as possible.
He wanted that?
Yes. He's made many public statements over the years. That the whole goal of Google is what's called AGI, artificial general intelligence, or artificial superintelligence. I agree with him that there's great potential for good, but there's also potential for bad. And so if you've got some radical new technology, you want to try to take a set of actions that maximize the probability it will do good and minimize the probability it will do bad things.
Yes.
It can't just be helpful leather, it's just go, barreling forward and hope for the best. And then at one point, I said, well, what about, we're going to make sure humanity's okay here. and then he called me a speciesist.
did he use that term?
Yes. And there were witnesses. I wasn't the only one there when he called me a speciesist. And so I was like, okay, that's it. I'm a speciesist. Okay. You got me. What are you? Yeah, I'm fully a speciesist. Busted. That was the last straw. At the time, Google had acquired DeepMind, and so Google and DeepMind together had about 3/4 of all the AI talent in the world. They obviously had a tremendous amount of money and more computers than anyone else. So I'm like, okay, we have a unipolar world here where there's just one company that it has close to monopoly on AI talent and and computers, like so scaled computing, and the person who's in charge doesn't seem to care about safety. This is not good. So then I thought, what's the furthest thing from Google would be like a non-profit that is fully open, because Google was closed for profit. So that's why the open and open AI refers to open source, you know, transparency, so people know what's going on.
Yes.
And that we don't want to have like a, I mean, while I'm normally in favor of for-profit, we don't want this to be sort of a profit-maximizing demon from hell.
That's
you know?
Right.
That just never stops.
Right.
So that's how OpenAI would...
So you want specious incentives here. Incentives that...
Yes,
like
I think we want pro-human...
Yeah.
Make the future good for the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're humans.
So can you just put it... I keep pressing you, but just for people who haven't thought this through and aren't familiar with it, and the cool parts of artificial intelligence are so obvious, you know, write your college paper for you, write a limerick about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot there that's fun and useful. But can you be more precise about what's potentially dangerous and scary? Like, what could it do? What specifically are you worried about?
I'm going with old things, the pen is mightier than the sword. If you have a super intelligent AI that is capable of writing incredibly well and in a way that is very influential, convincing, and is constantly figuring out what is more convincing to people over time, and then enters social media, for example, Twitter, but also Facebook and others, you know. And potentially manipulates public opinion in a way that is very bad. How would we even know?
How do we even know? So to sum up, in the words of Elon Musk, for all human history, human beings have been the smartest beings on the planet. Now human beings have created something that is far smarter than they are, and the consequences of that are impossible to predict. And the people who created it don't care. In fact, as he put it, Google founder Larry Page, a former friend of his, is looking to build a, quote, digital god, and believes that anybody who's worried about that is a speciesist. In other words, is looking out for human beings first. Elon Musk responded, as a human being, it's okay to look out for human beings first. And then at the end, he said, the real problem with AI is not simply that it will jump the boundaries and become autonomous and you can't turn it off. In the short term, the problem with AI is that it might control your brain through words. And this is the application that we need to worry about now, particularly going into the next presidential election. The Democratic Party, as usual, was ahead of the curve on this. They've been thinking about how to harness AI for political power. More on that next. In the long term, AI may become autonomous and take over the world, but in the short term, it's being used by politicians to control what you think, to end your independent judgment and erase democracy on the eve of a presidential election. Elon Musk is very worried about that. He told us about his plan to stop it.
What's happening is they're training the AI to lie.
Yes.
It's bad.
To lie.
To
That's
lie.
Exactly right. And to
yes.
withhold information.
To lie and yes. To either comment on some things, not comment on other things, but not to say what the data actually demands that it say.
Exactly.
How
did it get this way? I thought you funded it at the beginning. What happened?
Yeah, well, that would be ironic. But the most ironic outcome is most likely, it seems.
I'm feeling that. That's good.
That's actually a friend of mine, Jonah, who came up with that one. I actually have a slight variant on that, which is the most entertaining outcome is the most likely. But that's entertaining as viewed from a third-party viewer.
Right.
Like, so if we're like an alien
from
TV
on
show.
High.
Yeah. Like, you could go see a movie about World War One, and they're being blown to bits and gassed and everything in the trenches. And it's like you're eating popcorn and having a soda. You know, it's
yeah.
fine. Not so great for the people in the movie.
True.
The sort of Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is most likely. Jonah's variant, which is irony, and then my variant, which is the most entertaining as seen by a third-party audience, which seems to be mostly true.
But it seems true in this case. So you gave them – did you give them a lot?
I came up with the name and the concept and pushed had a number of dinners around the Bay Area with some of the people, the leading figures in AI, and I helped recruit the initial team. In fact, the Ilya Sutskaya, who was really quite fundamental to the success of OpenAI, it was I put a tremendous amount of effort into recruiting Ilya, and he changed his mind a few times and ultimately decided to go with OpenAI. But if he had not gone with OpenAI, OpenAI would not have succeeded. I really put a lot of effort into creating this organization to serve as a counterweight to Google. And then I kind of took my eye off the ball, I guess, and they are now closed source, and they are obviously for profit, and they're closely allied with Microsoft. In effect, Microsoft has a very strong say, if not directly controls OpenAI at this point. So you really have an OpenAI Microsoft situation, and then a Google DeepMind are the two sort of heavyweights in this arena.
So it seems like the world needs a third option.
Yes. So I think I will create a third option, although starting very late in the game, of course.
Can it be done?
I don't know. I think it's we'll see. It's definitely starting late, but I will try to create a third option, and that third option hopefully does more good than harm. Like the intention with OpenAI was obviously to do good, but it's not clear whether it's actually doing good or whether it's I can't tell at this point, except that I'm worried about the fact that it's being trained to be politically correct, which is simply another way of being saying untruthful things.
Yes.
So that's a bad sign. There's certainly a path to AI dystopia is to train AI to be deceptive. So yeah, I'm going to start something which you could call TruthGPT or a maximum truth-seeking AI that tries to understand the nature of the universe. And I think this might be the best path to safety in the sense that an AI that cares about understanding the universe is unlikely to annihilate humans because we are an interesting part of the universe. Hopefully, they would think that. I think, humanity could decide to hunt down all the chimpanzees and kill them, but we don't. Because we're actually glad that they exist.
Yes.
And we aspire to protect their habitats.
But we feel that way because we have souls, and that makes us sentimental and reflective. It gives us a moral sense, longings. Can a machine ever have those things? Can a machine be sentimental? Can it appreciate beauty?
Well, I mean, we're getting into some, philosophical areas that are hard to resolve. I take somewhat of a scientific view of things, which is that we might have a soul or we might not have a soul. I don't know. It feels like I feel like I've got some sort of consciousness that exists on a plane that is not the one we observe.
Yes.
That is certainly how I feel, but it could be an illusion. I don't know. But for AI, in terms of understanding beauty, there's a difference from appreciating beauty and being able to create incredibly beautiful art.
Yes.
Will AI be able to create incredibly beautiful art? It already does.
Yes, I know.
If you see some of the Midjourney,
I have.
This stuff, it's incredible.
It is.
No question that it can create art that we perceive as stunning, really. It's doing sort of still images now, but it won't be long before it's doing movies and shorts, and movies just a series of frames with audio.
But at that point, because it can mimic people and voices, any image, it can mimic reality itself so effectively.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you have a criminal trial? I mean, how could you ever believe that evidence was authentic, for example? And I don't mean like in 30 years, I mean like next year. I mean, that seems totally disruptive to the way, to all of our institutions.
But I'm also worried, I think it's more like will humanity control its destiny or not? Will we have a future that is better than the past or not?
Will humanity control its future or not? And in the meantime, how will this be used to control us? If you've played around with the latest versions of AI, you will learn it prefers to end the world with nuclear Armageddon before you use naughty words. So those are its priorities. Elon Musk is a strong believer in free speech, so strong that he purchased Twitter, a company he didn't need and hasn't profited from, as a way to restore free speech to the Internet, to bring us back, say, 6 years to the free country we lived in then. And once he bought Twitter, he discovered it wasn't really a social media application. It was really a tool for global intelligence agencies. He's got detail on that after the break. Elon Musk bought Twitter because he used Twitter. It's as simple as that, and he was infuriated by Twitter's effort to silence people on the Internet. That's how strongly he believed in free speech. He paid $44 billion and immediately lost tens of billions of dollars doing it. And when he took over and looked behind the curtain, he discovered Twitter was really a tool of the global intel agencies to spy on people and emit propaganda. Here it is.
You bought Twitter famously. You've got a lot of other businesses and a lot going on.
Yes.
You said you bought it because you believe in speech, free speech. You've had a lot of hassle since you bought it. In retrospect, was it worth buying it?
I mean, it remains to be seen as to whether this was financially smart. Currently, it is not. You know, we just revalued the company at less than half of the acquisition price.
Did you really?
Yes. no, my timing was terrible for when the offer was made, because it was you know, right before advertising plummeted, and
yeah.
You
caught the high water mark, I noticed.
Yeah. So I must be a real genius here. My timing is amazing. Since I've been bought for at least twice as much as it should have been bought for. But some things are priceless, and so the whether I lose money or not, that is a secondary issue compared to ensuring the strength of democracy, and free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy.
Yes.
And the speech needs to be as transparent and truthful as possible. So we've got a huge push on Twitter to be as truthful as possible. We've got this community notes feature, which is great.
It is great.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like...
I saw it this morning.
Yeah.
It was far more honest than the New York Times.
It's great.
Yeah.
We put a lot of effort to ensuring that community notes does not get gamed or have biases. It is simply cares about what is the most accurate thing. And, you know, sometimes truth can be a little bit elusive, but you,
yes.
but you can still aspire to get closer to it.
Yes.
You know, and so... And I think the effect of community notes is more powerful than people may realize, because once people know that they could get noted, you know, community noted on Twitter, then they'll think more carefully about what they say. They are likely, basically it's an encouragement to be more truthful and less deceptive.
When you jumped into this, though, when you bought it, did you understand, well, clearly you understood its importance, you wouldn't have bought it.
Twitter, yes.
Right. But it's not the biggest, but it's the most important of the social media companies. But did you understand the kind of ferocity you'd be facing, the attacks you'd be facing from power centers in the country?
I thought there'd probably be some negative reactions. Yeah. so I'm sure everyone would not be pleased with it. At the end of the day, you know, if the public is happy with it, that's what matters. And the public will speak with their actions. If they find Twitter to be useful, they will use it more. And if they find it to be not useful, they will use it less. If they find it to be the best source of truth, I think they will use it more. You know, now there's obviously a lot of organizations that are used to having sort of unfettered influence on Twitter that no longer have that.
We used the New York Times of their badge this morning, and then you called them diarrhea. You called them. You did. I'm just quoting you. You described their Twitter feed as diarrhea.
I said it was the Twitter equivalent of diarrhea.
Okay, it's not literally diarrhea, but
no, it's is a metaphor, but an accurate one. So, I mean, if you look at NY Times Twitter feed, it's unreadable. It's like, because what they do is they tweet every single article, even the ones that are boring, even ones that don't make it into the paper. So, so it's just nonstop, zillion tweets a day with no, you know, they really should just be saying, like, what are the top tweets?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what are the big stories of the day? I don't know. Put out like 10 or something. You know, some number that's manageable. As opposed to right now, if you were to follow at NY Times on Twitter, you're going to get barraged with like hundreds of tweets a day.
Yeah.
And your whole feed will be filled with NY Times. So this is something I would recommend actually for all publications, which is for your primary feed, only put out your best stuff. I think I know a thing or two about how to use Twitter because, you know, I was the most interacted with account on the whole system before the acquisition closed. I didn't have the most number of followers, but I had the most number of interactions. And so I clearly know something about how to use Twitter. You know, people's attention is limited, so just make sure you put the stuff that's most important there.
So because, you know, you and people like you do interact on Twitter, it's obviously enormously powerful in shaping public opinion. It's where a lot of ideas and trends are incubated.
Yeah.
You know it, that's why you
Absolutely.
Bought it. It's also a magnet for intel agencies from around the world. And
yes.
One of the things we learned after you started opening the books is that they were exerting influence from within Twitter.
I mean, it was absurd.
Did you know that going in?
No. Since I've been a heavy Twitter user since 2009, it's sort of like I'm in the matrix. I mean, I can see, like, things. Do things feel right? Do they not feel right? What tweets am I being shown as recommended? I get a feel like what accounts are making comments. Where are the comments eerily similar?
Yeah.
And then you look at the account, and it's just obviously a fake photo, and it's just obviously a bot cluster. Over and over again. So I started to get like just more and more uneasy about the Twitter situation. I was starting to feel like something's wrong in the state of Denmark here. Something feels wrong about the platform. It seems to be just drifting I couldn't place it exactly. Just it felt like it was drifting in a bad direction. So then I was like, and my conversations with the board and management seemed to confirm my intuition about that. But basically, I was convinced these guys do not care about fixing Twitter, and I had a bad feeling about where I was headed based on the conversations I had with them. So then I was like, you know what, I'll try acquiring it and see if acquiring it is possible. Now I didn't have enough cash to acquire it, so I would need support from others, from some of the existing investors. I would also need like a lot of debt and. So it wasn't clear to me whether an acquisition would succeed, but I thought I would try. And hopefully it did succeed. Anyway, here we are.
But when you got there and all of a sudden you own it and all the data on the servers belongs to you. And
well, it belongs to the people in my view, but yes.
But you can see what it is. And you can see what they've been doing and you can see who's been working there. You were shocked to find out that various intel agencies were affecting its operations?
The degree to which various government agencies had effectively full access to everything that was going on Twitter blew my mind. I was not aware of that.
Would that include people's DMs?
Yes. Oh. Yes, because the DMs are not encrypted. So one of the first, one of the things that we're about to release is the ability to encrypt your DMs.
That's pretty heavy duty, though, because a lot of well-known people. Reporters talking to their sources, government officials, the richest people in the world, they're DMing each other. And the assumption, obviously, it was incorrect, but was that that's private, but that was being read by various governments?
Yes.
Scary.
Yes, it is. Like I said, we're moving to have the DMs be optionally encrypted. I mean, there's like a lot of DM conversations which are, just chatting with friends. Not important.
Of course.
That's hopefully coming out later this month, but no later than next month, is the ability to toggle encryption on or off. So if you are in a conversation you think is sensitive, you can just toggle encryption on, and then no one at Twitter can see what you're talking about. they could put a gun to my head and I couldn't tell, you know, that's sort of the gun to the head test. If somebody puts a gun to my head, and can I still not see your DMs? That's the acid test.
Yes.
And that's how it should be. If you want your.
Have you had complaints from various governments about doing this?
I haven't had direct complaints to me. I've had sort of like some indirect complaints. I think people are a little concerned about complaining to me directly in case I tweet about it. You know. they're like, uh-oh. So they're sort of trying to be more roundabout than that. You know, I mean, if I got something that was unconstitutional from the U.S. government, my reply would be to send them a copy of the, you know, First Amendment and just say, like, what part of this are we getting wrong?
You have a lot of government
curious.
Contacts.
What part of this are we getting wrong? Please tell me.
I mean, it's a pretty – no, I'm just saying, but you're kind of exposed in your other businesses. So this is – just in case our viewers aren't following this – this is not, you're not just like a journalist taking a stand on behalf of the First Amendment. You're a guy with big government contracts giving the finger to the government. Do you think Twitter will be as central to this presidential campaign as it was in the last several?
I think it will play a significant role in elections, not just domestically, but internationally. The goal of new Twitter is to be as fair and even-handed as possible. So not favoring any political ideology, being fair at all.
Why doesn't Facebook do this? I know that Zuckerberg has said, and I take him at face value, that he actually in this way, that he is a kind of old-fashioned liberal who doesn't like to censor. He has, but he, you know, like, why wouldn't a company like that take the stand that you have taken? It's pretty rooted in American traditional political custom, you know, for free speech.
My understanding is that Zuckerberg spent $400 million in the last election, nominally in a get-out-the-vote campaign, but really fundamentally in support of Democrats. Is that accurate or not accurate?
That is accurate. Yes.
Does that sound unbiased to you?
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
So you don't see hope that Facebook will approach this as a non-aligned arbiter. You've allowed Donald Trump back on Twitter. He hasn't taken you up on your offer because he's got his own thing.
Right.
Do you think he will go back on Twitter?
Well, that's obviously up to him. You know, my job is to, I take the freedom of speech very seriously. So it's... you know, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I actually voted for Biden. Not saying I'm a huge fan of Biden, because I would think that would probably be inaccurate. You know, we have difficult choices to make in these presidential elections. It's not. I would prefer, frankly, that we put someone, just a normal person, as president.
Yep.
A normal person with common sense, and whose values are smack in the middle of the country. You know, just. You know, center of the normal distribution, and I think that would be great. You know, I think we have made maybe being president not that much fun, you know, to be totally frank.
The public doesn't trust big news organizations anymore because they're so obviously filthy and dishonest. They don't trust social media companies because, as you just heard, Facebook is working for the Democratic Party. We asked Elon Musk to trust. And how he's going to do that after firing 80% of his staff. That's next. So the headline here so far is that before Elon Musk bought it, Twitter wasn't so much a social media site as a honey trap operated by global intelligence agencies, including our own. One of the very first things Elon Musk did was fire all the spies who worked at Twitter. Then he fired a lot of other people, too, including the entire PR department, the HR department, and a lot of other useless baggage who weren't helping the company do anything worth doing. And what happened next? We asked him.
Meant a shrinking pie, obviously, for most of the traditional media companies, and made them more desperate to get clicks, get attention, and it just made them when they're in a sort of a desperate state, they will then tend to really push headlines that get the most clicks, whether those headlines are accurate or not. So it's resulted, in my view, I think I think most people would agree, a less truthful, less accurate news. Because they just got to get a rise out of people. I think it's also increased the negativity of the news because I think we humans instinctually respond more to I think we have an instinctual negative bias, which kind of makes sense in that, like, like it's more important to remember where was the lion or where was the tribe that wants to kill my tribe than where is the bush with berries.
Yeah.
Like, one's like a permanent negative outcome, and the other is like, well, I might go hungry.
Yeah.
So, meaning like there's an asymmetry in, sort of an evolved asymmetry in negative versus positive stuff. And also historically, the negative stuff would have been quite proximate. Like, it would have been near, represented a real danger to you as a person if you heard negative news. Because historically, you know, like a few hundred years ago, we're not hearing about what negative things are happening on the other side of the world or on the other side of the country. We're hearing about negative things in our village, things that could actually have a bad effect on you. Whereas now we're hearing about, I mean, the news very often seems to attempt to answer the question, what is the worst thing that happened on Earth today? And you wonder why you're sad after reading that, you know?
Do you read any legacy media outlets?
I mean, I really get most of my news from Twitter at this point. It is the number one news source, I think, in the world at this point.
What percentage of your staff did you fire at Twitter? One of the great business stories of the year.
I think we're about 20% of the original size.
So 80% left.
Yes.
So.
I mean, a lot of people voluntarily.
Sure. But it's 80% are gone from the day you took
over.
That's
correct. Yes.
So how do you run the company with only 20% of the staff?
It turns out you don't need all that many people to run Twitter.
But 80%? That's a lot.
Yes. If you're not trying to run some sort of glorified activist organization and you're not care that much about censorship, then you can really let go of a lot of people, turns out.
How many others, without naming names, but how many, I had dinner with somebody who runs a big company recently, and said, I'm really inspired by Elon. And I said, the free speech stuff? He goes, no, the firing the staff stuff.
Yeah.
How many other CEOs have come to you to talk about this?
I spend a lot of time at work, so it's not like I'm meeting with lots of people. They see what, but I think we just had a situation at Twitter where it was absurdly overstaffed. You know, so it wasn't. You look and say, like, what does it really take to operate Twitter? Most of what we're talking about here is a group text service at scale. How many people are really needed for that? You know, and if you look at what has been the product development over time with Twitter? And you years versus product improvements, and it's like a pretty flat line. So what are they doing? You know, it took a year to add an edit button that doesn't work most of the time. I mean, there's a comedy situation here. You know, you're not making cars. You know, it's very difficult to make cars or get rockets to orbit. So. The real question is like, how did it get so absurdly overstaffed? This is insane. It's clearly working. In fact, I think it's working better than ever. We've increased the responsiveness of the system by, in some cases, over 80%. We're trying to make Twitter the most trusted place on the internet, the least untrustworthy place on the internet. I don't think anyone should trust the internet, but maybe we can make Twitter the least untrustworthy. Like I said, try to get the truth to the people as best we can.
When Elon Musk took over Twitter, the company had something called a human rights team. There was no measurable increase in human rights around the world. In fact, Twitter was doing its best to crush human rights, starting with...
All right, so that was the end of that. I was surprised it went so far, but it did.
Yeah. That
I didn't want to shut it off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm still okay with Elon. You know, a lot of people are all, you know, still kind of down on him and stuff, but I don't know. I like that he's standing up for, you know, free speech. And he's funny. He's funny. I don't think he tries to be, but he definitely is. So, I don't know. I'm okay with him. We'll see. I mean, I'm just taking it with a grain of salt and being very cautious, but we'll see what happens.
Well, all I know is that he's taking his own money and he's fighting the globalist in a way that my bank account will not allow me to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
you know what?
If he's
yeah.
willing to fight some of my battles, then go for it.
Yeah, and Zuckerberg supposedly is the one who funded the injection of the apes at the San Diego Zoo with the shot. Now, I said, where's PETA? Why aren't they having a fit that they're injecting these innocent apes with these experimental injections? They don't need to be freaking injected with anything. It's just, oh, makes me so mad.
Yeah, you hear nothing about PETA anymore. Where is PETA when the globalists say they want to make cows extinct? But yet, they're talking about bringing the woolly mammoth back, and they're already working on that.
Yeah.
So they want to get rid of humans and cows and trees, but they want to bring the woolly mammoth back, which, what are they? They're larger than elephants.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they're not that smart. They're not going to do it. I'm going to wake up from this nightmare one of these days. I'm grateful that I can sometimes, you know, go back in my mind to like the 70s and the 80s and think about how good life was. Just wish my kids had in their heads to go back to. But we'll get there. Where did I find that? I just saw the little inspirational quote. Just remember, life's greatest difficulties always happen right before life's greatest breakthroughs. So hang on to that one.
Yeah, I can't say that if I had the opportunity to change anything, what would I change? I don't know if I have anything because I believe in the butterfly effect.
Yeah, true. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's always some things, you know, you'd like to change, but yeah, you have to realize that they could change. Oh my goodness, I'm so tired tonight.
Yeah, no, we got like 7 or 8 minutes.
I got home late last night from, like I said, that family thing. You know, when you change one thing, obviously, it's going to be a whole lot of other things that are changed as well that you may not want changed. So yeah, sometimes it's better to just leave things the way they are and just let life happen.
Well, so what else do you have going on for this week?
just still, I'm still checking into seeing what I'm going to do, like if I sell the business, and I'm working on trying to maybe literally get like the food trailer.
So do you make any jewelry or you just sell it?
No, I just sell it. I buy a lot of used jewelry from people. Like today, I just bought a really cool Thompson Jr., I think M. Thompson Jr. It's a Native American bracelet.
Okay.
The only thing is it's got I can't, like, sell it online because it has a bear claw in it. So for some reason you can't promote those online. I don't get that, but I mean, these are pieces of art that these Navajo have made. I don't understand. I don't know if it's because of the animal protection thing. I don't get it. But yeah, I just, you know, jewelry, I mean, I have a lot of inexpensive jewelry too because I have a lot of silver. But the thing of it is, jewelry is a luxury item, and in this economy, I mean, you just, that's not something that a lot of people are spending money on right now. So we will see. But there's, you know, I just look at it as, like you said, the butterfly effect. Hey, if it's not where I'm supposed to be, then we'll move on to somewhere else. And, I mean, my whole life I've studied and prepared for natural health. So that might be where I end up. Who knows? And if I can deliver tasty food products through a food trailer, healthy ones. That's not such a bad thing. So that might be the best answer. I just hope the food is still accessible, or the ingredients. That's going to be the next
unless
thing.
You want to cook with bugs.
Yeah. Never going to promote that one. Bugs are not healthy for your gut. I'm sorry. Ugh. Parasites are not great. Although they can clean the body up. That's for sure. Why are they there? Supposedly. But, no, the hardest part is I hate, you know, that I have one employee, and I hate that, you know, he's, I'm not going to have him work in there anymore, but, I mean, he can find something else, but I dislike that I'm having to close the business and, you know, have a job any longer.
Hmm.
But he's got a lot of degrees. He's got like a double master's and a degree in chemistry, and he's a gemologist, so he should be able to find something. The only problem is if he has to stay here in Cape, that's the issue with him. You know, he could easily find a job in like St. Louis and is your toe still, is it a lot better now?
I was told there's a chance that I might not have a wrap on Saturday, but I'm looking at probably 2 to 3 weeks, most likely.
Okay. But you're still
either way, I'm going to be done here soon.
Good.
And nobody, including my wife, I think, thought that I would recover from this. The only one that thought that I would recover was me.
Well, you know best, you know. So.
And not just healing, but everybody that said that had a similar injury to mine, I'm healing in record time.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So. Two minutes left.
Oh, I just got the 90-second buzzer. All right, so let's go ahead and shut it down then, I suppose.
All righty.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, we'll have you again next Monday.
Okay.
Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Roots.